Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Arizona Good Business Radio, featuring leaders in the Arizona business community working to build a lasting impact throughout our state through doing good business. I'm your host, Thomas Barr, Vice President of Business Development at Local First Arizona. We are a statewide organization advocating for and celebrating locally owned businesses, and we're the largest local business coalition in the country. We provide resources to over 3,000 small businesses and raise awareness of the benefits of building a strong local economy. Today, I am super proud and excited to introduce our guest, who's a friend and have spent a lot of time in the studio with on another show we produce. Welcome to the show today, Regina Rebozova, founder and producer of Open Conversation.
Thanks for having me, Thomas.
Absolutely. So you are on the other side of the aisle right now. Usually you are editing and producing podcasts of your own. Would love everyone listening today to hear a little bit about you and your business.
All right. So where do I start? I do production full time. I normally am behind the scenes person who does the magic and make sure the retakes are taken and everything. But everything you know about podcast, basically, we handle at the Open Conversation. I'm the founder. The company started 4 years ago. And it's going really well. I think 10 years from now, every business, every nonprofit will have their own podcast. It's like writing press releases, just deeper.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Fantastic. So, obviously, you don't just out of nowhere start doing podcasting. So where did it start? What's your background in, and how did you get to the place where you said, hey, I want to do this on my own now?
That's a great question. So a little prehistory. I wasn't born and raised in the United States. I'm from a small, tiny mining town in far east of the former Soviet Union. Mm. So think of not Eastern Europe, but Asia.
Okay.
Closer to Japan, right under Arctic Circle. Mm. There was nothing around, so I don't have many people ask me where is that? And I'm like, well, there's China somewhere down there. So that's where I'm from. And then I lived there for 17 years. I graduated and I moved all the way across the country to the Eastern European part to study journalism. Mm. And when I was my second, third year in college, I started working for BBC. So
oh, wow.
From there, it's kind of natural normally for correspondents to get pulled into all sorts of directions. You know, you're reporting for us and for this outlet and for that outlet. At 24, I moved to the United States. I did my master's here. I never went back. Hmm. I got my citizenship here years after. And I started right after my master's, I started working for NPR. So this progression into the public radio was, you know, happening slowly. But in 2014, the podcasts emerged. Mm-hmm. And I remember just binging Radio Lab. I don't know if anyone remembers Joe Frank. He's my big hero, huge hero. He passed away a few years ago, but he was a mentor of Ira Glass, and he was like a grandfather of everything we know about podcasts nowadays.
Yeah.
It's a very creative way of delivering stories back in 70s.
Sure.
And so I remember binging his whole library, and I was like, I want to do this. I don't know how to. Hmm. I'm still a news producer, and I frankly don't want to be a news producer forever. So how do I do this? How do I make the switch? So it took several years. Yeah.
Sure. And I mean, today and in today's world, I mean, we're so connected digitally worldwide that you have access to resources and people and things. And so I could only imagine today it's probably would have been easier to take the leap and do that than it would have been 10 years ago. So especially given the industry.
Yeah. Well, the leap started to happen really slowly within the public radio. So I started, what I did, it's super simple, really, if you break it down. What I did, I started to look for opportunities to start working on podcasts, right? And there are a few and far in between, but then you have to take risks. You have to believe in your ideas, right? So I proposed a couple of podcast ideas to radio stations. One was picked up for distribution. So I had to I had to live off of my savings for first year. Mm. The company was not making any money, but distribution was there. KJZZ distributed the whole podcast, which, you know, brought some visibility to Open Conversation and some name, and people knew that I'm here and I can do it. And then, you know, it just started naturally progressing. I've never had salespeople. Mm. I'm not very good at selling, but I think I'm getting better.
Well, your product sells itself, right?
Yeah. So naturally, just people started asking me, hey, I heard you do podcasts. Can you do this for us? Or we got a grant. Here's how much money we have. And what can you do for this?
Great.
And this and that. Yeah.
Great. So what are some of the businesses you've been able to work with or people that you've been able to work with over the years that's been exciting for you?
Super. I'm actually much like prouder to work with local companies than with, you know, I'm coming from a big, large networks. Mm-hmm. And those networks, they're just networks, right? It's all boils down to the story. So for me, you know, yes, I was with BBC, but saying that I did some amazing project here in the small towns in Arizona for the Herberger Institute for Design and the Arts is like, I'm super proud of it.
Yeah.
No one, no network can have access to stories that I had
through
that collaboration. I'm proud of the work I did for Local First, of course. These were amazing stories. I loved every minute of editing and working on it. Gosh, Brain Injury Alliance of Arizona just released two podcasts that we produce for them fully. And these are the stories that oftentimes myself as a producer, I thought I heard everything. But every time you hear something like, this is phenomenal, this is such a new spin on something that I knew. For example, people that are on substance, you know, substance abuse, mm-hmm. when they show up at the hospitals, I had no idea what stigma how horribly it affects our population, and it actually doesn't solve anything. So these kind of podcasts are, I know they're changing hearts and minds, and these are the proudest moments and proudest content that I normally produce for sure.
Yeah. So when you give some thought to, obviously you named an individual before that was an inspiration to you. When you give some thought to podcasts that are out there that, I mean, there are so many. there are thousands and thousands of people doing podcasts today. And it's getting harder and harder to stick out in that crowd, right? I see people all the time just recording and recording and recording. And I think it's all great, like, right, recording your own content. That's something you can easily do. You can buy a mic for $100 and record yourself. But there's a way to do it to gain more traction, gain more followers, actually help your business. And there's ways that maybe just kind of make you feel good for talking for a little while, right?
Yeah.
What shows, podcasts, hosts, engineers, people in the industry do you follow? Do you look up to you? Do you see as really, really crushing it out there in the podcast world?
So, Thomas, it's a podcast is its own very unique beast. I always say the same thing to people. Podcast is, that's why it's very difficult for me to nail it, like to narrow it to a couple of hosts, because each sub-segment of podcasting in terms of topics is its own phenomenal thing. Dave Ramsey, he just hit his billionth download, right?
Oh, wow.
I think he's doing a great job. how much debt people paid off over these course of 15 years while they were listening to him. But then on the other hand, finances is not something I would sit down and listen on my free time, right?
Right. Me neither.
yeah. They're phenomenal narrative podcasts that are true podcasts. What happened on our border, you know, there is a Women of San, I forgot the name of the podcast. We had a podcast just emerging from the Utah, no, it was Arizona something border from the Hillsdale, you know, about our fundamentalist Mormon
communities
there.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Like even on a very, very local, on a national level, there are phenomenal stories and podcasts. I always urge people, don't be intimidated by the amount of podcasts there. It's like if you are destined to write that book, it doesn't matter how many books are out there.
Yeah.
Right? So don't, but one thing I always say the same thing to, doesn't matter whether you're doing it in your mom's basement, just on a budget, or it's, you know, you're a big corporation, think of a new angle. Don't just talk, let's say, real estate. Mm-hmm. There's so many real estate podcasts. How would you convince people, doesn't matter how brilliant you are, to listen to your podcast?
Right.
When there are gazillions of real estate podcasts. Well, maybe you love beer, or maybe you love baseball. Talk about baseball and real estate. You know, find angle that no one touched before and cultivate that audience and grow that audience.
Right.
Starting from, think about podcasts as a super, super intimate spaces for a very niche audiences. Don't think about, I'm going to do the podcast, I'm going to conquer the world.
Right.
You're not going to conquer the world.
It's so funny. That makes me think of being in either middle school or high school. And I remember playing baseball and our coach telling us, none of you are ever going to play Major League Baseball. But some of you might play varsity high school baseball. And it was just very realistic, right? Like that was something none of us wanted to hear, but it was realism. But we could, you know, practice to be good at that. There's several, obviously, podcasts that I listen to that I really, really enjoy. One of them that I just finished was Bruce Springsteen and President Obama interviewing each other about their American experiences. Mm-hmm. But my most active one is I listen to every day is The Daily from Michael Barbaro. Mm. And I always think it's funny because the way that he on his shows just goes, it's like he's learning for the very, very, very first time what the other person is saying.
And I'm sure he does, probably.
But he knows so much about it before he walks into the room. Yeah. You feel like you are him when you're listening to the show. And I think those really unique nuances and things that hosts do, and obviously there's thematics that go into the background of the engineering, which you're an expert on. But those types of things I really listen for and I think are really special.
I just had this conversation with actually one of the local podcasts. Mm. They're growing fast. It's on AZ, I think it's called AZ Tech something. It's basically technology-based companies here, emerging tech sector here in Arizona. And I binged them just the other day. I just binged the whole show, 15 episodes. I was driving.
Yeah.
So I listened to everything. Phenomenal, phenomenal conversations. Not produced the level that, oh my God, no, not at all. But well enough to understand what a phenomenal brains will have. But my point here is that, my point with that, I was in touch with a host and I said, this is unsolicited advice. And I know you can throw it in the trash. I don't know the person very well. But here's what I think about your show. Mm-hmm. I love it. Your guests are great. But you yourself took the company and sold it for millions of dollars 2 years ago, 3 years ago. You briefly mention it in the intro or whatever, you know, you do. And then we don't hear anything from you. Mm. People come to you not only because they want to hear from your guests. Guests come and go. People connect with the hosts on a very, very, very intimate levels, always. And that's another big reason why people would come back. So I encouraged him. I said, we want to hear more of you. We want to learn not just from your guests. Don't just ask questions. Have a conversation. We want to know who, his name is Hamid, who Hamid is. How did he take his small company to this big enterprise?
Right.
And what is he doing now with this podcast? Why podcast now? Why talking to tech people in Arizona? Why Arizona? Like, you know?
Right.
So he got back to me and he said, thank you so much.
Yeah.
I would love to hear from you back. And, you know, I heard that. You're not the first person who says that. Mm-hmm. Right. So I encourage the host. You see, you pointed out a host when you were talking about the show.
Right.
You didn't point out a guest.
Guests or the story. Yeah.
Right? You pointed the host because you so relate to him and you're so connected with him.
Yeah.
So think about it that way. Can I quickly go back to your analogy with your high school?
Yeah.
I want to say one thing. You might not be able to conquer the world, of course, with a podcast, but you can change the world. And I want people to see it that way. You can change the world through spoken, you know, verbal medium that is a podcast for sure.
I love that. I love that. So I want to go back to your journey through journalism. And I have come in contact with and have a lot of acquaintances and people that I've come to know really well in the many aspects of journalism. Was there a certain point in time that you knew you wanted to go into sound engineering? Were you inspired by something specific, or were you just really interested in the field and the industry and kind of let it guide you where you ended up?
You know, Thomas, I remember I was 19 years old. I was in Caucasus, and there was another story coming up. Caucasus is a very interesting place. There's a lot of ethnic tension. Not interesting. It's really sad, too. But from the journalistic standpoint, mm-hmm. it's very interesting to cover it. Let me put it that way, right? Lots of tragedies there. Ethnic and religious tensions all the time. Mm. And failing government, which is Russia, right? From the journalist standpoint, it was always very interesting to cover it. But I remember I was filing in another story, another short piece on the just court hearings about, I'm not going to go into details there. And I thought, you know, and I always had this limitations. You have to submit this many words. You have to, it has to, you know, the structure of the inverted pyramid, you know, all the news reporters follow this.
Right.
I was like, it was so much more in this court. There's so much more. I wish I could. That's pre-cell phone. Well, cell phones were around, but there was nothing that you could record on cell phone. Mm-hmm. You know, I had my tiny recorder separately, but you don't have, like, how do you put it together? Because there's so much more to that. There's, you know, humanity and the person who is behind the bars there, and he, you know, they're convicting him in something, and there's this broken system, and there's so much more.
Yeah.
So, and I remember at 19, I was thinking, I'll find my way. I'll just find my way how to tell these stories. I'll find my, I don't know how many years it's going to take me, but I will. And I did. So that was the first, very first impulse. That's before the word podcast existed.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And just through, I think podcast is just, think about it this way. It's another medium to tell deeper stories and put it out so people could understand them. People, it's not a dry paper that is 25 page long, right?
Right.
It's a storytelling tool. It's not for everybody, but I think it's amazing and really powerful.
That's so really great.
And engineering came with that. When I started working first as an intern, then associate producer at NPR, I would always sit behind those that would engineer the sound more than those that wrote the scripts.
Yeah.
I'd be like, this is so fascinating. Can you teach me this? Why did you take out that breath? Well, it was too long. And there was this sound. what's wrong with that? It doesn't sound good on the air. So, like, these things.
It's
cool.
Well, and I didn't realize it until actually meeting you. And I grew up a musician. And so I know the sound engineering behind mastering and editing music, and, you know, just the tiny little tweaks that happen in the room, but voiceovers are so completely different. And the slightest things, you would have me come in and be like, "Can you say your S a little different in this sentence, just like once?" And I'd be like, "Okay,
okay, that's
and
weird, come but
out,
I can."
It sounded great, but I had no idea, right? And so it's so I think beneficial to have people that you can work with that understand, no, your audience is going to feel this way when you say it this way, and they want to hear that power, and they want to hear that.
Yeah.
And so it's a partnership, right?
Yeah.
It's a team effort. It's not just somebody coming into a room and recording something transactionally.
Yeah.
It's truly a team effort. So
I agree. And one thing I will add, Thomas, you just need to know about that. I don't know if you know this, but working with non-professional in broadcast industry is you know, it's new for me too. So I started doing this thing to people much more now since we recorded, much more, because I realized, like, I have to, you know, I'm coming from broadcast world. I would never say these things to the host,
right?
Unless there was something out, like, really weird, and then we'll ask for retake, because these people are trained for 20, 30 years to say things certain way, right? And all of a sudden, when you're dealing with businesses, nonprofits, yeah, you have to be on people's necks. And they're like, what the hell? Stop it. But you're like, no. You will hear it later. It's going to sound phenomenal.
Yeah. So what does the future of Open Conversation look like? Are you continuing to work with more exciting businesses? What does the next year look like for you?
I had to define it just recently for myself, just to outline my trajectory. Is that Open Conversation a business that says yes to everybody and produces all sorts of content, right? As a business person, you have to kind of make those decisions, mm-hmm. or open conversation is wants to work with specific industry or specific type of, you know, cover specific type of stories. And the definition of it came so naturally. I didn't have to sit down and think about it for a long time. I think it was always in the back of my mind in 2017 when I created it, but I never verbalized it. Mm-hmm. And it came through just a conversation with somebody. You know, Thomas, the future of open conversation is we're definitely not a shop for everybody. So I definitely filter who comes and who asks me for, I'll give advice for sure. But would I work with anyone and everybody? No. I'm very proud of my current clients. I'm working with tribes in Nevada, in the state of Nevada. I'm actually expanding to Las Vegas now because naturally one project happened there and now people are asking me, can you talk to this person? They're interested in podcasts, mm-hmm. right? And I'm getting more and more into more heavier production. I still have clients that I'm doing, you know, two-way interviews, but I noticed that okay, my selling point is always, why don't we make it more powerful than mm-hmm. just two people talking? Why don't we just not talk to the doctor, but go to the nursing facility and talk to the patient, how they've been through this COVID thing? You know, what was it for them at 85-year-old, you know, being stuck there without seeing the family members? And let's not just hear from the doctor. Doctor is phenomenal. But that personal level stories, we can't get from the doctor who comes to work. Yeah. Right. So we're getting into heavier production. I would say, you know, there are a few projects that are people now come to me and say, we want something like Radiolab. What it would take, you know, we don't care about selling anything. What would it take to, we're making police body cameras. That's literally the conversation I had yesterday with Axon. We're making police body cameras and we have narrative and we're approved for podcasts, like, but we want Radiolab quality. We want people to be on the scene. We want all the ambiences, everything you can imagine. We want 5,000 different, you know, people in one. And I love it. Like, this is super challenging. I'm afraid. Right. I'm scared.
Right.
But I said, absolutely. Yeah. You're going to be proud of it.
Yeah. That's exciting. Well, good for you. Good for you. Well, if you're listening here today and you would like to hear a little bit about Regina's work, you can check out Local First's other podcast called Local First, Stories from Arizona Small Businesses. Regina, it was such a pleasure having you on the show today. Where can people find you if they want to reach out?
OpenConversation.com. I'm all over that place. So.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much. We hope you listening were inspired today, hearing from a leader working to leave a legacy here in Arizona through doing great business. I would like to thank our sponsor, Phoenix Business Radio, for hosting us and all of our legacy partners at Local First Arizona, including Open Conversation. This is Thomas Barr from Local First Arizona, reminding you that if we want to build a better place, we need to connect deeply with the local businesses that make us proud to call this place our home.